Welcome back to another episode of Up the Poshcast. Another listener special with no game this week. We've decided to get the mailbag open again and take questions from you, our audience. Really enjoyed it. Today I was joined by Ashley and John. I'm Harry. We covered all the typical stuff like the current squad, the effect of Luke Williams on the team. And we also asked more generally about the history of D-Mac's tenure and some questions on things like the academy and who might break in, as well as questions on the transfer business that we might need going forward. Wrapping up with, as always, a few silly questions, which we did enjoy. And we hope you enjoy as well this special episode of Up the Poshcast. All right, I've got the questions in front of me. Let's get into it. First one from Matt Mechum. Long-term injuries seem to plague Posh. Which player would you hate to see limp off for 6 months? Ashley, go to you first.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think there's only one answer, and the answer is Alex Bass for that one. I think that showed in the run-up up to the Huddersfield game that we were chopping and changing between Reyes, we know he's not good enough. Reyes, we saw him at Crawley. He's just not it, is he? And then Will Blackmore, the third option. He's a nice lad, but he's not a League One goalkeeper for me. So if Alex Bass was to get injured, we've also seen that the important saves that he's made since coming back. Yes, he was a little bit shaky in his first two games, but ever since coming back, he's been sensational. And he's won us games as well. Let's not forget that, with some absolutely fantastic save. So yeah, Alex Bass.
On this one, I'm going for Matt Garbutt. I don't think we have anyone in this new system where he's a little bit higher up as an attacking midfielder with Con Clark out at Carlisle. We don't have anyone else to really fill that role. And I think he did a pretty good job in the 5-0. So I think Matt Garbutt would be a huge, huge loss. And also from the perspective of the fact that it's a World Cup year and he's the only player in the squad with a realistic chance of going, it'd be devastating to see him out for 6 months at this point, I would say.
Well, I think you two have got the two obvious ones, to be honest. I think Bass probably is the correct answer on who would have the most impact in the team. But I do think Harley Mills would be another one that would be pretty disastrous if he was to be out injured, just for the sheer fact we don't have another left-back in the squad. Rio Adebisi, not been fit for a year and a half and seemingly is still not coming back. You could push Tom O'Connor out there, but then you're taking your best centre-half out of his best position. So I think Harley Mills' injury would be pretty disastrous as well.
Yeah, I like that answer. Yeah, Harley Mills is a good one. All right, next question. Do you think Bielo should be given a chance in the EFL trophy to prove himself under a new manager? Who wants to take that one?
I will again. No is the simple answer. Look, you all know me. I've been a big advocate of Nicholas Bilakapic, but I think that we need to take that seriously, that competition. I think that it's a chance to, yes, rotate, but I think that, again, Tuesday night showed that probably goalkeeper is the one position that we don't want to be rotating in. I don't see there a way that Bielo gets into this side. If we are going to have to play anyone, it's got to be Reyes. What are we loaning him in for? There's no point paying this guy's wages. Yes, he's potentially going to go back in January, but realistically, and we may answer this further down the line, the way that I see January going is three goalkeepers out and one goalkeeper in.
I think if the club has given up on Bielo, it's actually a good reason to put him in the EFL trophy, because it puts him in the shop window a little bit. And he could have had an opportunity against League Two Crawley. Maybe he'd have taken it, and clubs in the league below, or maybe the conference, might have thought, okay, there's a player we could take a chance on here in January. Reyes offers no value to us because he's, as you say, he's on loan. So why not at least try and shop window a guy in relatively low stakes that could be worth something if we sell him?
Yeah, and do you know what? The problem is, I just think that we've seen time and time again that he just makes the same errors. And we know that this competition is important to DMAC, the club, I like it. John is also a fan. I can't, don't ever tell me that you're not a fan when I watched you celebrate on Tuesday night, John. You were down the front. There's picture evidence. Don't tell me that you don't love the Virtue Trophy.
Well, no, I don't love the Virtue Trophy. I enjoyed the last minute celebrations and you had to get involved, right? But I certainly do not love the competition. However, I love it more than tossing it away and playing Bilicapic in goal. There is no way I want to see that man in a Peterborough United shirt ever again, I'm afraid. And frankly, I would probably play Alex Bass every game in the competition. Do you need to rotate a goalkeeper? I don't know. Modern day football, I think that I would just play Bass every game while he's fit.
Yeah. I mean, on the Virtue Trophy, I know it wasn't really part of the question so much, but
I think there's a certain badge of honour for us now, like trying to go for this three-peat. So I can't see it that we should go for a stronger side from here going forward now we've made it out of the group. All right, next one. Now that we're mainly one striker rather than two, what does Harry Leonard give us that Jimmy J Morgan doesn't? And what does Jimmy J Morgan give us that Harry Leonard doesn't in terms of play style or certain attributes? Quite like that one. Who wants this one? Ashley?
Yeah, it's not just as simple as... If you'd have asked this question 2 weeks ago, the answer would simply be, well, Jimmy J Morgan puts the ball in the back of the net. But we know that Harry Leonard has more to his game than just putting the ball in the back of the net. We saw that at Plymouth away where, he missed the penalty, but he held the ball up relentlessly. And he does seem to, I would say, Harry Leonard links the play better with the players around him. That may just be a product of watching Luke Williams football, knowing that it's touch, set the ball back, off you go. We saw, obviously, the one with Peter Chiosso. I'm sure that Harry Leonard was involved in that quite early on before making his way into the box. We saw it on Tuesday night. I got it wrong when we recorded in the car on Tuesday night. It wasn't Ben Woods that played the ball through to O'Brien Brady. It was actually Harry Leonard, and he managed to keep the ball before slotting it through to Donny O'Brien Brady. Whereas Jimmy J Morgan, it's a little bit more, not scatty, that's not the right word to use, but it's more energetic, I would say. It's more, right, I'm going to do the running for you, gaffer. That's probably the answer I would give, is that if Leonard's more controlled, Jimmy J Morgan's a little bit more erratic, but in a good way.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with you entirely, Ash. I think the biggest difference between the two actually is Leonard's pressing is better than Jimmy J Morgan's. Jimmy J Morgan has improved his pressing, I think, under Williams compared to what it was under Fergie. But he's got fitness issues, hasn't he? And I think Leonard, from the minute he came in, has been able to last 90 minutes pretty much plug and play. As soon as we signed him from Blackburn, he was up to the standard required. Maybe that's because he came out of a championship team around the first team rather than an under 21 squad. But I think for me, that's the biggest difference I've seen between the two of them. I really like both of them. I think both of them are deceptively strong. Both of them hold the ball up very, very well. Both of them look like they can finish when they're in the box. I think we've got two good strikers there. I think the biggest thing for me is, one, the pressing, and two, Harry Leonard is our player, so he should be first choice because we own him. Whereas Jimmy J, we could lose him in January for all we know.
Oh, before I answer this properly, Jimmy J is 19 and Harry Leonard is 22. And I'd be very interested to see where Jimmy J Morgan is 3 years from now. I highly, highly doubt he'll be with us unless we're a championship side. I think that Leonard is more willing to do work that is one step back from the defensive line. As you've alluded to, the hold-up play, he is better at that. Jimmy, if he receives it, not quite on the last man, but sort of a level before, just wants to drive at a team. And that isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just a difference in style a little bit. And I think Harry Leonard is quite happy to be without the ball because he has received it and passed it off. So he's got, I think, on the whole, better playmaking abilities. Kind of ironic, given that Jimmy J's played behind him a bit more often than not. But I think that when it comes to then pulling off from the shoulder of the last man. I think back to the Lincoln game, which although we lost 3-0, Jimmy J. Morgan had two excellent chances in that game, both of which came from his movement. The one where Matt Garbutt put him through and he hit the post, and also the one where Tom O'Connor's cross came in and he just flashed it wide. Leonard may well have more chances like that as the season progresses, but that ability to separate from the centre-back without them even noticing clearly comes naturally to Jimmy J. Morgan, and that is really impressive. And you know, imagine if he'd scored both those chances in that game, we'd probably gone on to win it. But on the whole, right now, I think Harry Leonard's the better player, but I think sky's the limit for Jimmy J. Morgan. And 3 years from now, it wouldn't surprise me to see him established in the Championship, maybe even higher. Right. Next question. This one from Howard. Also, thank you to Michael A. for the last question about Jimmy J. Morgan versus Harry Leonard. Next one is from Howard. If we were promoted to the Championship, can you name five or more players in the current squad who you think would make the grade at the higher level next season, excluding the loanees? Who wants this one?
Yeah, I can go. It's difficult, isn't it? But I think I would put Alex Bass in there. I think I've seen enough from Bass to suggest that he has the capabilities to do it. I think Archie Collins, for me, is probably a top-end League One player rather than a Championship player. But do I think he could do a job in the Championship? Yeah, I think he probably could. I think Garbutt could play there. I think he's got the physicality to play there. I think he's technically good enough. Harry Leonard scored a few goals at that level before, so I'll chuck him in there. The fifth one, I am struggling with a little bit. I am finding it a little bit difficult to find a fifth. Abraham Odo?
Hey, Stranger Things. I remember thinking Sean Batt was a complete donkey when he played for us, and then he actually was pretty good in the Championship for Millwall for several years, so who knows? The other ones, you've named all the ones who are realistic. And I think Matt Garbutt is the one who would translate most naturally. I think there is even an argument that Matt Garbutt may even be in the Premier League one day. He needs to tighten up his first touch a little bit. But outside of that, he is so good. He is so good. I guess one really rogue one would be, well, it's not really rogue. It's just that he's only just come into the Football League and we're seeing him start to progress. And if he continues to progress, he could get there, is Kyrell Lisby, I would say. Just as he improves his game and gets up to speed with the pace of the Football League, when does that development finish? Because he's already a far better player than he was on the first day of the season, right? And it's only been 3 months.
So, Harry, you're finished talking, right? Can I just get that as a yes, you're done?
Oh, yes. Go on. Why?
So you don't think that Kean Hayes could play in the Championship? Is that what you're saying? Because you've missed him off.
I just wasn't going to mention it because I thought that you'd take the piss. But yeah, I do think Kean Hayes could play in the Championship, but I'm not coming back to it now. Also, who knows how he'll come back from his injury. He might not be the same man.
A bit like Poku wasn't last season because of his hamstring, hey?
Yeah, look how much he's played for QPR. Case closed.
Right, I'm going to add two more. This is one man that we haven't seen play a lot of football, Declan Frith. I think he's got that buns off seats. And John, you jokingly said Abraham Odo. Abraham Odo was not on my list, but I do think that he must clearly do something in training. And he does allegedly play well in a system, even if he's only passing the ball backwards. If you want somebody that's going to retain the ball by passing it back to your left back or your midfielder, Abraham Odo is that man. He's never going to play in the Championship, but it's not one that I couldn't see. Like, he had links with Huddersfield this summer. Like, why would he be going there? And the only other one who's been really good since Luke Williams came in is Ben Woods. I think that obviously it would be a big step up for him now, but with a year, 18 months, 2 years down the line, I can see that he's got all of the good attributes to be a Championship midfielder. Better, I would say, than somebody like Hector Kyprianou, who is now playing for Watford, in my opinion.
Next up, Anonymous, if CCC continues on the form he is on, would you like to see him recalled? Or is there an argument to be made that he's the best, that he's best left at Carlisle until the end of the season? Who wants this one?
Leave him at Carlisle. I just cannot get behind. He's almost made his own bed. He said that he doesn't want to come back. Whether that's to prove himself for the new manager, he said that he wants to win promotion at Carlisle. There is simply no point bringing somebody back who has moved their life, 4 hours away up to Carlisle, that then doesn't want to be in Peterborough. And I would say that next summer is probably the time for Chris Conclarke to sit down with the manager and say, look, am I in your plans? Am I not? I'm still of the opinion that, yes, it's all well and good that he's getting goals and assists in the National League, but he did not show us that. And even yesterday, we obviously didn't hear from him because big old Carlisle drew 1-1 with Eastleigh, I think it was. So he's not doing it. Yes, he got an assist yesterday against them, but I don't think it would be the right time. I think that there's a chance that he would come in and unsettle a boat. He plays very differently to the players that we have. There's an argument that we do need a player like Chris Conclarke. I'm not going to say that we don't, because Lolos is just not doing it, but I just don't think that it would be right. I think that we should let him get back to enjoying his football, which he is clearly doing at Carlisle, and then reevaluate in the summer. And it may be that we go, thank you very much, it didn't work on this occasion. Or he really wants to then prove himself, and then we can integrate him back into the football club next summer.
Yeah, I don't have a great deal to add. All I would say is I'm firmly with you, Ash. I think what's new? He's ripping up the National League. Well, that's exactly what he was doing when he first signed for us, and then he did absolutely nothing in a Peterborough show. It might sound harsh, but I saw nothing really that made me excited to watch Chris Conclarke play again. And when I look at it, we've got Jimmy J. Morgan, who can play in the 10. We've got Matty Garber, who can play in the 10. I think they're both better players than Chris Conclarke. So we bring him back. He sits on our bench. He loses value. I think just let him go and get another year in the National League. It increases his value. The chances are he's getting sold at the end of the season. That's the best way forward for Peterborough. Regardless of what he does, I would leave him there.
Yeah, I agree on all of that. I think it's best for him as well. If he gets Carlisle promoted, then we could maybe even make money on him if Carlisle are willing to get him in permanently for their League Two tour. All right, next one. Do you think there is a way that George Nevitt plays himself back into the team? Was largely our only glimpse of enjoyment through the Fergie portion of the season. I'd like to see him back. John, you got this one?
I think Nevitt might be the biggest loser of Luke Williams' appointment, purely for the fact that we're not playing three at the back anymore. And we've all voiced concerns about Nevitt playing in a two. And actually, I think Nevitt, there's a real argument that he's probably fourth choice at this point. Tom Lees has been excellent since Luke Williams came in. Sam Hughes will be back soon. And you've got to think Sam Hughes will play after what we saw last season. And Tom O'Connor has arguably been our best player under Luke Williams so far. So as harsh as it is, because I do think I saw real promise in Nevitt over the start of the season, I think if you put him in a two, his lack of pace is more likely to be exposed than where he was playing in the middle of a three and carrying the ball out and sort of distributing it from there and being a chief deep line. He was almost like a deep line playmaker, wasn't he? It sent a half, whereas he's not really going to get that luxury without two men around him in Williams' system. So I do think that I feel sorry for Nevitt because we probably had him as our player of the season under Ferguson. But all of a sudden, there's a chance that he doesn't play that much more football this season, which, yeah, it's not really reflective of form, but that's what happens when you make a managerial change and a system change. And I'm not sure that he's perfectly suited to this one.
Yeah, nothing really else to add, John. I think that the big concern for George Nevitt is always going to be his pace, isn't it? And I just don't see him fitting into a side where he doesn't have somebody that can make recovery runs for him, essentially. It's as simple as that. Yes, he probably has all of the right ball-playing attributes that Luke Williams wants, but I don't think that George Nevitt is a threat from set pieces. I don't think that he's that fantastic at defending set pieces. How many times have we seen Tom Lees or O'Connor win the headers, even when George Nevitt's in the team? And I think that we discussed this during the week, didn't we? Is like, how do we rank our centre-backs now? And I think actually for Luke Williams, there's every chance that David Kagwe is probably further ahead of George Nevitt in his, well, where am I going to play them?
All right, next one. If the whole squad were available for sale now, excluding loan players, which players do you think hold the most value for summer sales? I'm going to go first on this one. And I'm going to say it's Alex Bass. I would have said Matt Garber if he didn't only have a year left in the summer. But I think that goalkeepers can, as long as there's enough hype around them, they can get crazy transfer fees. And if a championship club comes in for Alex Bass, it could be 5+ million easily, I think. He needs to sustain his form. You know, little things like getting in the EAFC team of the week, maybe if you can get in there with a few highlight reels, like, in a great game against Plymouth, right? Needs a few more of those. And I could see him being the best, or rather the most valuable player at the club by the summer.
Harry, I know it's early. Are you all right? Are you okay at the minute? Because 5 million for Alex Bass, that's £10 million of goalkeepers we've got, according to you, because Bilakapic was going to be worth 5 million as well. What is going on here? We can buy a new stadium soon. Don't worry about it. The goalkeeping department is sorted. Look, it's not going to be Alex Bass with the most value in our squad, is it? I'm afraid, Harry. I think Harry Leonard is probably the one that's going to have the most resale value. We paid £1 million for him. He's starting to score goals under Luke Williams. And funnily enough, Harry, goal scorers do generally fetch more money than goalkeepers. So I think it's probably him. Matty Garbutt's another one who I think we could fetch a decent fee for, given that he's only 23 and has New Zealand international experience. And imagine if he scores at the World Cup. That's got to be worth £1 million or a bit, hasn't it? If he gets a World Cup goal this summer in America. So yeah, I think those two are probably the two. The other one I would throw out there is if Harley Mills has a good season, I think he could be worth a decent amount given that his age, given that he's scored at Wembley. I think he has a good reputation across the Football League as an exciting youngster. So I think those three are probably the three with the highest level of resale value at the minute.
I don't know why that answer's got Ashley crying from me, but I find it funny you saying that Harley Mills or Matt Garber will fetch as much, because there's a context of both of them that we got them for free. Every club's going to know that it's pure profit for us, and that will always drive down the price. Plus, the 1 year on the Garber contract thing means that if he does score a couple at the World Cup, we're going to struggle. Even if five clubs are interested in him, as I suspect there will be, they'll all know to pitch it around the 1 million, 2 million market. So it'll be very hard for us to say no to that kind of money with a tasty sell on. Unlike Alex Bass, who we probably spent the best part of a million on, now entering his prime. And I really do think there's a chance there. Why is it so funny, Ashley? Are we kind of...
I'll tell you why. It's not the fact that Alex Bass could be our... I don't disagree with you. It was just the comment on he needs to get a few more Team of the Weeks. Like, we are obviously recording this on a Sunday morning. Tomorrow, John, myself and Charlie are going on with DMAC. And it was just that, well, we've accused DMAC of being a football manager. Do we think that DMAC just sits there and goes, oh, League Two Team of the Weeks and Player of the Season, right? I love those. That's who I want. It's just the thought of some championship like director of football going, oh, how many Team of the Weeks has he got this season for EAFC? That really made me chuckle. It was just the thought of that. That's what's made me laugh and cry as well.
Fine. Yeah, I get it. Oh my God. Okay, right. No, next one.
I have to explain myself. I can't stop.
Oh God. Okay, John, I think you're going to have to answer the next question because Ashley's going to take a while to compose himself. If you could choose one current Premier League player to put in the posh team, who would it be?
Who's been in Team of the Week the most?
No, probably.
Who's got the most fantasy points? Who's got the most fantasy points on FPL? That is the question.
It's boring, but you'd probably have Erling Haaland, wouldn't you? Imagine him in League One just absolutely terminating his way through defences. I think he'd probably get about 60 goals just for his physicality. So, yeah, it's a boring answer, but it's the right one, isn't it? Haaland.
Yes. Firm agree. There's no other answer. Like, maybe a year or two ago, you'd have said, like, Salah cutting in off the right-hand side, but he's not cutting it this season, is he? Yet. But, yeah, Erling Haaland, he's inevitable, isn't he? And I just think he would absolutely destroy every, like, five-man centre-back, like, whatever, pentupler or whatever it is. Like, you just wouldn't be able to mark him out of a game. It would be impossible for League One defenders.
So, I'm trying to think outside the box with this one, not just give the obvious Erling Haaland answer. I don't think striker is our biggest need in this squad. We only have one fit left back. And the chances are for the rest of the season, we're only going to have one fit left back. And a bit of competition there might help. And Lewis Miles Skelly is the man to offer competition to Harley Mills.
This episode is a shambles.
I've had enough. I've had enough of him. Can we get rid of him?
This is the recording before we go to the FCAs, and this is what
Hashtag AFC. Hashtag Gunners. Get lods on the Lewis Miles Skelly compilation in the midweek. Okay, right. Moving on. Okay, right. Bringing it back to actual posh players. Kieran Robinson has asked, who is the posh player of the season so far?
Well, do you know what? I would have gone George Nevitt if he hadn't got injured. I think that he's been our most consistent. The bar was very low, wasn't it? But all of the things that he wasn't doing well last season, he'd started doing well. I think that's an easy comparison, is in terms of the improvement. You're maybe going to give him that based on that improvement rather than actual quality. I do, though, think that the answer is Alex Bass. When you're winning games 1-0, and that's 6 points on the table from 1-0s. I don't think there's any other games, is there? Like, you could almost, let's not just say 1-0. Let's go winning games by one goal. Wickham as well, he made a couple of good saves. That's 9 points on the board from Alex Bass alone, just through making saves. And where would we be without those 9 points, rooted to the bottom and looking down the barrel of League Two, ultimately, for me?
Alex Bass is a good one. I think I'm going to go for Tom O'Connor. And if I'm not mistaken, he's the highest rated or highest average rated player from Up the Poshcast hosts this season. Just really consistent. I can't think of a single time I've given him a 5 or lower on any performance. And I don't think many have. Even in big losses, he's been really solid at the back. It's a shame he's not our player. And hopefully he will be our player in the future. And doing a really good job at both defending, but also he's good in terms of the progression work and going forward. And he creates chances. Yeah, really, really solid start to the season for him and my player of the season so far.
Yeah, no notes. I think those two are the two standout candidates, Bass or O'Connor. Yeah, I don't have any other candidates to throw out there, I don't think.
All right, nice and easy. Next one. Do you believe we can do anything to get Archie Collins to stay? Is promotion the only likely chance we have?
Yes, I think promotion probably is the only likely chance that we have. Maybe another top six campaign might persuade him to stay, but I can't see it. I mean, I know it was when he wouldn't sign the contract, Peterborough looked like we were on the decline. We now look like we have a bit of upwards momentum again, but I think potentially his mind's been made up. I think he probably wants that championship move or a bigger League One club move where he can earn a little bit more money. And I'm not convinced that, I'm not convinced that we can get him to stay. I think the ship has sailed.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm gonna answer another question that we've got as the answer for this. And if you're Archie Collins and you're you look at that retained list from last year and you think, how bad was that? The question that I'm going to answer is, was the recruitment as bad as was said or better than you first thought? If you're Archie Collins watching the players come in over the summer and thinking, we are only heading one way and that's down, you're not going to sign a new contract. Why would you want to tie yourself into another 3 years or 2 years at Peterborough United, knowing that you potentially are going to be playing League Two football? I think that there's a chance that actually deadline day and Garbutt and Chiosa coming in prior to that will have had a positive change on Archie Collins's view on the football club and go, actually, look, we've just signed £1 million striker or 800 grand, whatever it is. And I think that the one little snippet that I would like to share from when Luke Williams came into the sponsors lounge pre-Wimbledon was that what's important for him this season is first goal is avoiding relegation. We all know that. But the second goal is come the end and the last game of this season that everybody leaves the ground excited for the next game that Peterborough United play. And I think that if over the next, what is it, 7 months, 6 months, Luke Williams can build that within the club, I think there's a chance that we get to the end of the season and he can put a proposal to Archie Collins that says, this is what I want. Look at where we are now. If it wasn't for the first 13 games, we'd have probably won the league or been in the playoffs. And I think that he can get up, tie Archie Collins down that way just through the vision of, this is how I see us playing. This is what I want you to do. This is the role that you play. I've got a good feeling that I think that Archie Collins likes being at Peterborough United. And if he can see the long-term plan over the next 3 years with Luke Williams, I think there's a chance that he signs a contract.
I think he's the game that Luke Williams plays, the style he plays, suits Archie more as well. He gets the opportunity much more often now, it seems. I know we've only got a sample of, you call it two games, you know, Cardiff and Wimbledon, receives the ball and is able to spray it out pretty quickly and then, you know, be relatively involved defensively. But fundamentally, it's about that quick playmaking. And he was a bit muted in that regard under Fergie, quite consistently muted in that regard. He was expected to do a lot more trenches work, I would say, under the old manager. This is gonna seem like a salacious headline, but or a salacious guess as to what I think might happen. But I remember back when Mark Little let his contract run out and he tested the you know, being a free agent, and he didn't get any offers he liked, and he ended up back at Peterborough United later that same summer. And this is no slight on Archie Collins' ability, but some clubs might just simply look at the fact that he's been involved in two seasons in a row where we've been not that good. This is under the assumption that we don't get promoted, right? So therefore, maybe we'll make the playoffs and not make it, but more likely than not, we'll be a mid-table side again. And they might just look at a midfielder from that side who's finished 18th 1 year, whatever it ends up being, 16th the following, and just not be interested above, you know, as in no other club that's Championship or higher will be interested. And he might think, League One again, I may as well stay with Peterborough. And he could end up returning having already left. We shall see. So moving on, Andrew King has asked, if you were Luke Williams, who would you be looking to promote from our under-21 squad this season and next? It's a good question.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because we've already got 30 players in our first team squad. So is there room on the training pitch for any under-21s? I'm fortunate that I go and watch the games. I think that we just have an absolute pool of talent in our under-18s. They were very good in their FA Cup game against Boldmere, St Michael's, and they've now got Man United away. Fingers crossed that is at Old Trafford. I don't think it will be. I think they've got a 12,000-seater stadium that they play rugby league at as well. It's more than likely to be there, but still a massive chance for players that play in the first team as well. Let's think of Mendonca and Bolu. Like they're good footballers. They're playing first team football well above their age. Another player that doesn't get the sort of exposure is Patrick Syker. I don't know whether I butchered that name or not, but my goodness, the ball just sticks to his feet. He is such a great player. And actually, if Luke Williams can clear out the 10 to 12 players, I think that there's a chance that Mendonca, Bolu, Patrick Syker all make their way as fringe players with the chance to play in the Virtue next season. And then I also think that there's a chart, I can't remember his name, and I think it's Ben McWilliams Marcono. He's a very tidy winger. I think there's a chance that he will progress up into the 21s. And we've not seen a great deal from Andre Changunda so far this season because he's been injured. But when he came on at Rotherham, he was exciting. So I think that there's plenty of opportunities. I just think that none of these players should be worried about making first team impressions when we are 23rd in the league and we have a 30-man squad. It's not worth the risk to them and exposing them to something that is not ultimately going to be particularly pretty, let's say.
All right. Well summed up, Ashley. Moving on. Chris Wagger has asked, which players from the last 5 years do you think Luke Williams would have loved? Last 5 years. That is an interesting one. You guys got an answer for this?
Yeah. If I think of the biggest disparity between the current squad to what he was, probably Ephraim Mason-Clark. I think he'd be absolutely lights out under Luke Williams. Likes his wingers to get in behind. Mason-Clark was very good at that. Likes his wingers to stay wide and cut inside from what we can tell. Mason-Clark was very good at that. I think he'd fit in brilliantly. And the other one is probably an obvious one, but Ronnie Edwards, just because he's so good on the ball. And you could set those traps and he likes to play football from the back. And yeah, Ronnie was the best player we've seen, certainly at centre-half, at keeping the ball on the floor and setting the team forward from him. So those two are the two for me.
I'm wary of giving this answer because I don't want to set Ashley off again. But I do think under Luke Williams, Joel Randall would have thrived. I do. I mean it as well. I actually mean it. I think that a centre attacking mid is absolutely integral to this style of play. And I don't know whether it was just because Fergie and Randall butted heads, but I think Luke Williams would have done a job with him personally.
Harry, you've got 5 years worth of players here. 5 years. Kwame Poku, Josh Knight, Harrison Burrows, who I think would have been a really good answer. And you pluck out Joel fucking Randall again. What is up with you?
To be fair, actually, Harrison Burrows would have been probably the right answer there. Moving on. Kieran Robertson has asked, what has impressed each of you since Luke Williams has taken charge?
I can do this one. I can do that. I just think that it's... Maybe this isn't Luke Williams as such, but I'm going to give it anyway, is that it just feels different and it feels fresh. Like, this is the first time in however long that it's not been somebody from the academy or Steve Evans or Grant McCann or Fergie. There's just something about the football club that feels different now. And the way that he answers questions is very logical and methodical. Not that Fergie's weren't, but when you listen to 3 years of somebody's interviews, you're essentially getting the same stuff regurgitated and said slightly differently. The way that Luke Williams answers questions is exciting, and it just feels like we've got a new lease of energy and that's been brought into the football club across all areas.
Yeah, I think the answer so far is pretty much everything, right? It's he just looks a very, very good manager, and the impact that he's had on the field has been exponentially bigger than I think most of us could have ever anticipated. So it's been a brilliant start, and I'm just very excited to see where we can go with Luke Williams as our manager.
Yeah, I agree with that. Not a lot to add. Still only a sample of 3 games, but I think it's looking like a really good appointment. I'm quite interested. This isn't really the question, but I think there simply has to be just definitionally a change in the way that DMAC and Luke Williams will operate compared to what DMAC and Fergie did, because, of course, this is somebody that DMAC doesn't know on a personal level like he does Fergie. And I wonder whether, you know, it's just a guess, but I'm guessing that DMAC is probably talking to Luke Williams less than he did to Fergie. He's letting him get his feet in the door, put his stamp on the club day to day. And I imagine if I'm right about that, and that is a change, that's probably helping change the atmosphere around the club, because people are recognising that Luke is, you know, he's able to impress his own style on whether it's training or anything else. and that helps him have a bit of authority as he starts his new role. Right, next up, cynical one. Matthew Lord asks, when will we first lose under Luke Williams?
Do you know what? I actually think that this is a relatively easy one. We've got top of the league Stockport on Thursday, and then I think that the Tuesday after is when we play Stevenage. I think we'll do very well and to get through both of those games without losing. So that's not on anyone. That's just the way that it is. Like when you play the, I don't think Stevenage are quite second or third, are they? I think they maybe drop down to fourth now because they've got like three games in hand. But when you're playing those top teams, and Stevenage, I looked at their form. Stevenage haven't done well against teams that are in the top half of the table. So if we are going to be a top half of the team table by the end of the season, then maybe we should be beating Stevenage. But I wouldn't be disappointed if we lost to either of those two teams. But I do think that it's going to be one of those games that we lose, and that will be Luke Williams's first loss. And then it will be like a mini reset for him, and he will take the learnings from losing. Like that's going to be the big thing, isn't it? Is when you're coming into a team that is as poor as it was, getting them to win maybe is the easy thing. It's actually seeing how the players react when they lose that will be really where Luke Williams starts to earn his money, I would say. And that could be as close as this Thursday against Stockport. And I wouldn't be disappointed with that as long as Malik Mothersill doesn't score.
Yeah, well answered. Anon has asked, do you see us getting playoffs? I'm just going to say no, but I think we'll be comfortably safe now. You guys got any changes on that answer?
I think no is the sensible answer. We're 40-1 for a reason. Am I ruling it out? Maybe not quite. I think Ash is right that Stockport at home looks difficult, but actually if we get through that game, if we are to win it and they are without their best player, you start looking at the next few fixtures. Stevenage at home, Doncaster away, Reading away, Cobblers at home, Port Vale away, Leyton Orient at home, Reading at home, Rotherham away. They're not exactly the most intimidating set of games coming up, especially when you've got a bit of momentum. And if you do collect points over those sort of games and you do start putting in the performances that we saw against AFC Wimbledon, then all of a sudden things look quite interesting. So I'm not ruling it out, but it is unlikely. It is a long shot.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you. I would simply love it if from what are 32 remaining games, we could go and win 25 of them. But that's a small margin for error in that sense. And you're going to draw games in there as well. So maybe 25 is probably far too early. Let's go 18. What's that? 54 points plus another 7 draws is 61. That puts us to 75-ish, I think it would be. I think that we will live to regret not making a decision on Fergie sooner. Some of those games that we only lost by one goal, or the ones that where we only won 1-0 could have been convincing wins under Luke Williams. And it may be that we end up coming 6 points short, and then we can turn around and look back at Blackpool and Huddersfield, again, a difficult game, but still we were up in that one, weren't we? We went 1-0 up, and Luke Williams' teams are all about going and getting another goal rather than trying to protect a 1-0 lead. We were never going to do that against Huddersfield. So no, I don't think that we'll get the playoffs, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to spend the next 6 months willing it on and talking about, well, there's always a chance, isn't there? Until it's, this is the same with relegation last season, until it's mathematically impossible that we can't get the playoffs, there's always going to be a chance. And it would be classic Peterborough United to do exactly that.
I remember you saying, Ashley, before the Burton Albion game, that we only needed to win two and lose one the rest of the season to get to 77 points, I think it was. Maybe you're saying it now at 75. But hey, we beat Burton and we beat Wimbledon and we lost to Blackpool. We won two and we lost one. Still on. And yeah, go lose to Stockport, but then go win the next two. You never know. Okay, next up, Kieran Robinson has asked, would you rather win the Virtue Trophy for the third time in a row and get relegated, or lose the final and stay up? I mean, of course I'm winning the Virtue Trophy. No, yeah, I'm getting relegated. Flipping out. I'm clearly losing the final to stay up. Can't get through my Freudian slips. You guys got any change on that answer?
No, I just think that getting relegated to League Two would just be completely disastrous. And as great as winning at Wembley last season was it papered over so many cracks. We've said it so many times, haven't we, is that it made a terrible season look acceptable. And I don't think that there should ever be a world where winning at Wembley and getting relegated is acceptable for Peterborough United. I said it, what, one of our first episodes, didn't I? They just, Peterborough United should never be a League Two team. I don't see us ever getting relegated, and that is still the case.
All right, Matthew Lord. I'm actually going to stitch two questions together, which are loosely connected. So Matthew Lord has asked, where do you think we would be without DMACC? And also Ian Mills has asked, was the recruitment as bad as was said or better than you first thought? Might just be a case of taking that answer to consider the last 20 years of recruitment, if you're considering DMACC's tenure. John, have you got any answers on these?
Yeah, so I've consistently said for the last 18 months that Posh's recruitment has been poor. I stand by that. I think we saved our transfer window because we were so blind to the lack of quality in our squad in the last 4 days of the transfer window, certainly the last week, when we brought in Garber, Leonard, Jimmy J. Morgan, all these players. Imagine the squad without these guys. It's added so much quality. I think the problem with this transfer window this time is how late we left it. We're talking about a playoff push now, but imagine if these players had come in before. Imagine if Fergie went before. We're not that far off the playoffs. We're saying it's feasibly possible. Well, why was the decision not made when the retain list went out to put some of these players on the retain list, like Chris Conclark, like Ryan de Havilland, who are now not really getting a look in? We weren't ruthless enough. We went into the summer and the new season thinking we could get away with it. We couldn't. We then got to the last week of the transfer window when we were bottom of the league and panicked. And in the end, yes, we brought in some quality. Win Tom O'Connor as well. He was another one that came in pretty much on deadline day. And we have a completely new squad now, which actually I think has a decent amount of quality. So fair play, you corrected your errors. But I do still think you can't be forgiven for the fact that how many games did we waste with the team that we had at the start of the season? And these new players needed time to bed in. They weren't fit when they first arrived, a lot of them. And now we're seeing the fruits of the labour 3-4 months on, but we're still 23rd or 22nd in the league, despite a good run of form. Overall, where would Posh be without Dara? I don't think we'd be where we are. I've consistently said that Dara McAntony has been a net positive for Peterborough. I think when you look at the growth of the club and the standing now, we're probably a mid-table League One club on attendances and just size of club and pull of club, I would say. But we weren't that when Dara took over. We were a League Two club and probably belonged in League Two at that stage. So we have moved up a division, I would say, in the English football standings. And that is because of Dara and his policies. And overall, like I say, I think he's been a net positive for the football club. So I think we'd be worse off without him than with him, despite the criticisms that we've all had of him more recently.
I mean, I'm trying to find it, John. And yes, this is digging you out a little bit. Oh, I found it. I found your tweet. So you say you've consistently said that the recruitment hasn't been good for 18 months. It's a little tweet from the 30th of August, 2024. Squad complete. Honestly feels like we've plugged every gap this summer with credible options in each position. We're in a real chance of attacking the league again now. A very good window considering the level of talent we lost early on. Just saying that everyone thought last summer was pretty good. And yes, of course, there was a Swedish experiment in there that we couldn't have judged, but it's a hard job and sometimes it just doesn't pan out. And I think when you look at 20 years worth of balance, Ashley can make all the gestures he likes. Dara has outperformed literally every club of this size and is probably in the top 10 of all clubs over the last 20 years in terms of their recruitment. And fine, Brighton and Brentford were both in League One with us at a point, and they've now absolutely shot way beyond us. Bournemouth, again, I don't know if you can include them because they got billionaire owners, but Dara is one of the best owners for recruitment in the Football League. And as part of that, as part of a portfolio of players over 20 years, some of them are going to be absolute stinkers. But he has found some absolute gems that no one else did, or no one else was willing to take a chance on. Remember that Ivan Toney was on the verge of falling into League Two at the time that Dara took the chance on him. And some of them were obvious. I think Johnson Clark-Harris was an obvious one. Some of them were incredibly obscure. When we bought Jack Marriott, outside of Luton, who knew who he was? And Dara, or at least his scouts, found him. And he then ended up being a multi-million pound player for us, right? How many other clubs have had 20 years worth of those examples outside of Brighton and Brentford and Bournemouth?
I'd just like to quickly say on that tweet, I trusted Dara. This is when I was being promised Oddo was the next best for Mason Clark. This is when I was being promised that Lindgren and Valin were going to be shit up. And, well, we got the first half right. And this is also when I remember tweeting it. It was after Jadel Katongo came back. And who foresaw Jadel Katongo being that bad? Look, I can have some sympathy with Dara for the Katongo one. I don't think any of us realised that he would forget how to play football over the summer. The problem is how much we got wrong that summer in terms of scouting. And yeah, I jumped the gun, no doubt about it. I had faith in Dara's scouting that maybe has deteriorated somewhat over the last 18 months of what we've seen brought into the football club. But at the time, I was very confident that at least four or five of them would come off. Unfortunately, I don't think last season any of them did.
All right, Anon has asked, what's happening to Dell's diaries now he's sadly left the podcast? I mean, just first off, Dell was not asked to leave the pod. Dell wants to leave the pod, and several of us tried to convince him to stay. We respect his decision. Still love Dell, still in group chats with him, talking about football, and I'll see him at the games for as long as I'm going and as long as he's going. Wish him all the best. And I don't think there will be any more Dell's diaries. Never say never, but yeah, just wish him all the best. That's really all got to say on that. Kieran Robertson asks, who truly is the biggest gobshite? I mean, I think we're going to see on The Hard Truth who the biggest gobshite are, aren't we, Ashley?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I do like to wind people up, but I think that there's a small chance that it could be Chaz, because Chaz does like to pipe up and then disappears for weeks on end. So I wouldn't be opposed to saying that Charlie was the biggest gobshite in this particular occasion. But for now, it's definitely John in terms of going for DMACC direct. It's 100% John. I don't think you can disagree with that one.
Yeah, I am. If it's a gobshite league table in Dara's eyes, I think I am. I am Arsenal, and everyone is trailing in my wake. Although I firmly deny the allegations, which we will find out on Monday night, whether I am a gobshite or not. I guess you can all make your own minds up on that.
Yeah, make sure to watch the Hard Truth when it releases. Ashley, John, and Charlie, is it going on recording on Monday night? So after this will have gone out. Who knows when the actual episode will be out? I'm guessing a couple of days later. Okay, got a couple of more silly questions. Chris Wagger has asked, is Harry planning to do a Turkey trip or brave the shave at any point? I think I'm more likely to brave the shave, but I've still got a few years left in me, okay? I am 31, and just like my old man, started at 30, and by 40, there was nowhere to hide, and I will be the same. But I've got a few years left of some coverage up on here, but I know that you get the right lighting and there's some real gaps in there.
Okay. Harry, if you make it to 40, there's more chance of Alex Bass going for 5 million than you making it to 40 with hair on your head.
we'll see a bit of a vicar, you know, with just or like Friar Tuck with just the hair on the side and just right. Chris Wagger's also asked, if you had to do a 3v3 Poshcast Royal Rumble, what would be the most evenly matched teams possible? And I'm going to go ahead and answer this. The most evenly matched team would be five of us versus Ashley. And even then, Ashley would still be the favourite. We have a American football offensive lineman among the Up the Posh cast team, and at 6'4½, and previously a pretty serious weightlifter. I mean, it's even with five of us. I mean, Charlie, I think you'll be done within the first 5 seconds, right?
Yeah, if we are going 3v3, then it has to be Charlie and Max on my team, purely because it's got to then be fair on you guys. But I don't think that they'd be able to lay a glove on you three, Harry, John and Lodz. So I think it would essentially become a 1v3. And I think I'd back myself against you three. I just think that you wouldn't be able to control one of my limbs. So I'd just have to use that one, wouldn't I? Even if you had one on each arm and a leg, I'd just have to kick pretty hard with my left leg, I would say.
You know, in Infinity War, when like half of the cast is trying to hold down Thanos, and just half of the Avengers are trying to hold down Thanos and try and take one of the stones off him, that would be, that would be replayed in our 5v1 Royal Rumble. I think we're there. I think we're there. Sorry if we didn't answer your question. Suggest them again. Some of them, we've run out of recording time at our end, is the only reason we haven't asked. There were some really good ones that we didn't get round to. So next time we do a listener's questions, maybe this will become a monthly thing. So we've done one in October and in November now. We shall see. Thank you so much for everyone who sent one in. We really appreciate it. And with that, I think we're there. Gents, got any other final comments? Any other notices?
Nada.
All right. Well, I'd say see you all at Stockport on Thursday, but the whole of Up the Poshcast will be at Ellen Road for the FCAs. So how we're going to get an episode out for that Stockport game, I don't even think we know yet. We shall see. But with that, thank you for listening. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
I've still got a few years left in me, okay?